Two people killed in a head-on crash on I-95. I'm live at the scene with what caused it.
Breaking now, what we're learning about the person who has died in that Charlotte apartment fire.
We're tracking two rounds of rain. Who could wake up to a messy morning commute and the best hours to be outside this weekend before a second system moves in?
We're live at PNC Arena, counting down to the puck drop. Our live team coverage of the Canes' quest for the Cup continues now.
To get you started here at 7 o'clock, we are following two breaking news stories. Two people are dead after a major crash on I-95 in Johnston County.
Plus, we're learning a father of four was killed in that massive apartment building fire in Charlotte. A lot to get to tonight. Thanks for joining us. I'm Lena Tillette.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. First, let's get straight out to our Eric Miller. He's live for us in Johnston County. Eric, you learn more about that crash, what caused it on I-95, causing huge problems during rush hour tonight.
That's right, Dan. But some of those problems, well, they are starting to get fixed here. You can see behind me three out of four lanes of I-95, including one lane of I-95 southbound, now reopened. And as we look behind me here, you can see the cause of all these problems, where it all started, that white box truck. I want to send you now to some Sky 5 video. This is what this scene looked like earlier. You can just get a sense of how violent this impact was, how terrible this crash was. State Highway Patrol, they tell us this started when that white box truck was traveling north on 95, blew a tire, ended up losing control, crossing over the center line, and hitting a pickup truck head on. The two people in that pickup truck were killed. The two people in the box truck were taken to the hospital. We're still working to learn what their injuries are right now as well. Now, there was a third vehicle involved, an SUV. It hit a trailer that the box truck was towing. Those folks, though, thankfully, okay. Now, there is still a pretty significant mess here left behind that box truck still on scene. Some debris still left in the road. So one lane of 95 southbound is still shut down here, and it could be hours before that reopens. Still a major mess as we get into this evening. Dan?
Yeah, you said it. Eric Miller with the update in Johnston County for us. Thanks, Eric.
I'm Mark Boyle in the WREL Live Center. Some new information about that fire in the Charlotte area. It started early this morning, this afternoon, and into this evening. That investigation continues. One person still missing. On your screen, WSOC, an affiliate there in Charlotte, confirming this man, DeMonte Sherrill, was one of those construction workers. He is dead, according to his family members. His mother telling the station there that she actually was watching her son on his Facebook live feed this afternoon, asking for help, saying he was trapped and nobody got to him in time. There were some other rescues as well. One of the crane workers over that apartment site there, where that was under construction. Some firefighters were trapped. They were rescued. The cause of all of this still under investigation. This all happened by the South Park Mall in a very busy area of Charlotte. We'll keep you updated as the search for that last person continues.
All right, we are less than an hour from puck drop at PNC Arena. Nice to see no more hours, just the minutes. 56 minutes until puck drop, where the Canes are taking on the Panthers for the first game in the Eastern Conference Final. We have live team coverage of the action before play gets underway. WREL's Aaron Thomas has fan reaction. He'll have that in just a moment. But first, let's get out to WREL's Deborah Morgan with quite the crowd. I don't even have to ask you how the energy is. It clearly is on fire.
Right? I know, it's amazing out here, Lena. The fans are so ready. Countdown clock, like you said, less than an hour away before the puck drops. We are so excited. The doors are now open, so the fans are starting to stream into PNC Arena. It is almost game time, and everybody here is so excited. This is where the party is tonight. Now, you see how excited these fans are. I had a chance to go one-on-one with head coach Rod Brind'Amour just about 5 o'clock or so, and he told me how much he loves having these fans supporting the Canes.
We need everybody. We're the ultimate team. We're not relying on one guy. So 20 guys and our fans, obviously, you know, have been a huge help for always, right? This is the best place to play in the NHL, and we love it.
You know, and this is the 25th anniversary of the team being here, and there have been people following this team since even before they came to Raleigh. WREL's Aaron Thomas is in the parking lot with some other Caniacs who are waiting to go into the big game tonight. Aaron?
You know, Deborah, there's something to be said about a team, a sports team, and their success. You have diehard fans like these lovely folks behind me who come out to every game and they follow every move. And then you also have people who become fans overnight and they want to see how far this team will go. Well, I had the chance to speak with one fan who's been following the Carolina Hurricanes since they first started playing their first two seasons in Greensboro. Keep in mind that this all happened while the team was waiting for their permanent location to be built here in Raleigh. Robert Mocock actually tells me that he has his first ticket from that first ever game. He says there's a lot to be said about the success that the team is having and that fans now are definitely getting their money's worth.
And so, you know, the last 5 years, you've seen the product improve and improve and improve. You buy tickets to these games, you know, what's the entertainment value that you're getting for that, right? Yeah. Well, now there's a product that's on the ice, so now you're seeing entertainment value. You know what? We enjoy being here. We enjoy our friends, and, you know, it's a good deal. So.
Yeah, a lot of people out here are definitely just having a good time, whether it's tailgating with food or just conversing with one another. They're definitely all looking forward to getting game one off the ground. We're going to send it back to you, Deborah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Aaron, thank you. I wish we had smell-o-vision to be able to bring that to you at home because it smells great out here with all the tailgating, all the people having fun. Our coverage does not stop here. Join us right after this newscast at 7:30 for special pregame coverage of all the Canes excitement. We're going to preview this series with the Florida Panthers. Everything you need to know before the puck drops at 8. And then after the game, don't go anywhere. Tune to us for the post-game coverage. During our late news at 11:25, we're going to have an exclusive post-game show. You're going to hear from the fans, players, and of course, Coach Rod Brind'Amour. So let's hear it one more time before we send it back to the studio. The Caniacs are so ready for this. Lena?
Absolutely. Deborah, before I let you go, I loved what Coach Brind'Amour said to you about all those big city teams. They're not in it right now.
Yeah.
It's the smaller teams that are doing pretty well.
Absolutely. We call this Southern hockey for a reason. Raleigh is the farthest north of the four teams still remaining in the NHL quest for the cup. So we love our Southern hockey.
Yep.
We've got the perfect weather out here to be able to celebrate the game and our team.
And a little Southern hospitality with it. Deborah Morgan live at PNC
Absolutely.
Arena. Thanks so much. We look forward to the pregame special at 7:30.
They're enjoying some beautiful weather mm-hmm. out there. To our south here, if you look at the radar, things don't look as pretty. And is this the stuff Mike May's joining us now that will be moving up toward us this weekend? Because I know we have some chances for rain increasing.
Yeah, that'll be with us tomorrow morning, Dan. And that's only the beginning. There's a secondary system that comes in Saturday evening. This is all slowly moving to the north. I think when folks leave the arena tonight, there may be a few sprinkles, and that's about it. I think the heart of the rain will be with us during the morning commute tomorrow. There's 11 o'clock tonight, a few sprinkles. By 6 a.m., we're seeing some light rain. Now, the more robust heavy rain stays down east of the coast, so we're not talking about big downpours. It's not going to be hugely wet on the roads in the morning. Just some light rain, sprinkles. Tomorrow afternoon, it begins to taper off, and we're just looking at a lot of cloud cover for the afternoon and evening on Saturday. But, or I should say for Friday, but on Saturday, we've got the front coming in. We'll show you how it impacts our Saturday evening, Dan, with Futurecast coming up.
Sounds good. All right, thanks, Mike.
A $30 billion spending plan passed the state Senate today with support from both parties. It's not the final budget yet, though. WREL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie reports from the legislative building with reactions from both sides.
This is the third step in the budget process. The House and the governor have already unveiled their budget proposals. Now they all have to work out the differences, and those differences are pretty substantial.
Teachers and state employees groups have come out against the Senate's budget because it offers lower raises than the governor and the House called for. Senator Greg Meyer warned it won't help state agencies fill their record number of job vacancies.
When I talk to state employees, they are very clear that it's not enough.
In his budget, Governor Roy Cooper proposed 8% raises for state employees over 2 years. The House called for 7.5% over 2 years. The Senate's budget calls for just 5%. And teachers would fare even worse. Cooper had proposed an 18% raise for teachers over the next 2 years. The House called for 10.2% over that time. The Senate is proposing just 4.5% for most teachers, although starting teachers would get more. In a move that'll affect everyone, the Senate proposal includes steep cuts to the state's income tax rate, dropping it by nearly half by 2030. Meyer warned the cuts are so deep, they'll make it impossible for the state to meet its needs.
We'll probably never be able to catch up with paying teachers the national average if the tax cuts that are in this budget package go into place.
Senate leader Phil Berger said Democrats have been saying that for the past decade every time Republicans have cut taxes, but so far revenues have continued to grow.
We've got the reserves to cover if they happen to be like a broken clock, once be right or twice be right in a day. They haven't been right so far.
As for the differences in proposed raises for teachers and state employees, Berger said the Senate is ready to negotiate as the final budget compromise takes shape.
I hear what they're saying, and we'll be talking to our House colleagues and trying to address concerns not only from them, but from other quarters.
The budget bill now goes back to the House, which will vote not to agree with it next week. It then goes into what's called a conference committee, a closed-door group that works out the differences. The final compromise plan is due by June 30th. That is the end of the fiscal year. Laura Leslie, WRAL News, Raleigh.
When we come back, you had questions after Five on Your Side went in-depth on electric vehicles. So tonight, we've got some answers about the sometimes overlooked details of going electric.
One person is dead and another person in the hospital with what's being described as life-threatening injuries in Durham. New tonight at 7 o'clock, we're getting some new video in from the scene where police are actively trying to piece together this shooting. This is happening right off of Avon Lake Drive. That's near the Avon Crossings apartments in Durham. One key piece here, police are saying the shooting does not appear to be random. It is an active scene. If you live in that area, and there's a lot of apartments in that community, investigators are likely to be out there for quite some time as they piece all of this together. Here in the Live Center, this is where this is happening. This is south of Durham. That's the Avon Lake Drive location right there. So this is an area about a couple miles south of the downtown area. We'll keep you up to date as new information comes in as they search for the person responsible and that one person continues to recover in the hospital.
All right. Thanks, Mark. We continue to follow breaking news in Moore County as well. That cement truck that fell through the parking deck of Moore Regional Hospital this afternoon. As of 7 o'clock, officials tell us cars are still unable to enter or leave the parking deck. The hospital is asking all emergency vehicles and patients to use the ambulance entrance instead. Fortunately, no one was hurt here.
Well, all this week, Five on Your Side's Keely Arthur reported on electric vehicles. And last night, we went in-depth beyond the EV sales pitch to talk a little bit more about all the other impacts of going electric. Afterward, we got dozens of emails, and I'd like to open the inbox with you tonight. Barbara asked this, Dan, how do the EV owners pay for using the roads? Those of us driving cars that use gasoline or diesel pay a tax in the price of the fuel. What about EV users? Thanks. I really enjoy your comments on the news at 7. Barbara, thank you so much. And you make a great point. This is something that state governments all over the country have really been struggling with because they're seeing tens of millions of dollars essentially vanish from their budget. And remember, our gas tax here in North Carolina just went up this year to 40.5 cents a gallon. That makes us the seventh highest in the U.S. And that money is what goes to pay for road projects. And EV drivers, well, they don't pay for it. Instead, they pay an extra $140.25 with their registration. That is to make up for the gas that they don't buy, which doesn't come anywhere close to covering the difference. Think of it this way. That would be like paying for the gas tax for only the first 350 miles that you drive the entire year. So what's the answer? Well, different states are trying different things. Some are trying what's called a road user charge. It charges drivers based on the mileage that you drive. It's kind of like a toll. Also, last month, we reported this idea to actually increase that tax on EVs even more and add some new taxes to rideshare services like Uber and Lyft to offset that money we're losing from the gas tax. But right now, it's kind of unclear where the money is actually going to come from. And there are a lot of people scrambling to try and figure that out. I got another great email, this one from Mary Jo. She said, I have a lot of concern for the weight of the vehicle. I believe they are on average 1 ton heavier than the gas-powered vehicles. What is the impact? So Axios actually covered this just a few weeks ago, saying EVs are much heavier than gas vehicles, and that's posing safety problems. You may not know this, but EVs can be anywhere from hundreds of pounds heavier to thousands of pounds heavier than similar-sized gas vehicles, and that matters in a crash. That article cited a 2011 government study that found the baseline fatality probability increases 47%, which is pretty substantial, for every 1,000 additional pounds in a vehicle. Also, what about roads and bridges and infrastructure, that sort of thing? The Telegraph, they published this last month. Car parks could collapse under the weight of electric cars after a British Parking Association official recommended that parking structures integrate higher load-bearing weights amid concerns about more EVs. These are all interesting and important things to consider. So earlier today, I sent Mary Jo's email to officials with the state. And Mary Jo, I'm told they're working to get you some answers. I'll let you know. And in the meantime, if you have any other questions, please let me know. Send me your thoughts. Email me at dan@wral.com. Tell me what's on your mind, and we'll go in depth.
All right. Thanks so much, Dan. Very interesting. All these other details, right, you got to consider. All right, let's take another live look at PNC Arena. You see the overcast there. Mm-hmm. These fans down here don't care. Meteorologist Mike Mays joining us. They are having a great time out there, and it's actually pretty comfortable.
It feels pretty good, Lena. Yeah. We didn't have the 80s today that we had yesterday. We had lower dew points today, the cloud cover. Right now it's 69 out at RDU. We got a nice breeze. The rain staying well to the south. It'll inch up slowly to the north, and by tomorrow morning for the morning commute, we'll see some rain in the area. Join me at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL. We'll watch to see how far north this shield has gone. And also, we'll take a new look at future casts. New model runs are coming in at that point. Now, the Durables are also playing this evening against the Nashville Sounds. They've got some fine weather. I'm sure some folks have either a sweater on or a light jacket, because with 69 and a dew point in the 40s and a breeze, it feels a little bit of cool, or it feels a little cool being out in the elements. 71 right now in Fayetteville. 66 Goldsboro, 68 at Rocky Mount, 64 right now in South Hill, 63 in Roxboro. Here in the Triangle throughout the evening, we got that 69 right now, 65 at 9 o'clock, by 11 o'clock, 61. Maybe some sprinkles by the end of the evening overnight, and about a 50% chance of rain to start the day tomorrow due to this area of low pressure that's cranking up off the South Carolina coast. We mentioned this yesterday. It moves to the northeast, impacts the coast tomorrow. The Wilmington area could see over 2 inches of rain from this. It'll make its way toward the Outer Banks, and then by Saturday is gone. Saturday, we're watching our next front that's off the picture here that'll be making its way into the area. So let's check out Futurecast to see what we can expect for Saturday. This is the first look at high-resolution model data for the day Saturday, expecting an overcast to start the day, becoming partly cloudy by lunchtime. And with enough sunshine, we should reach the lower 80s here on the Triangle, maybe mid-80s for Fayetteville, the Sandhills, over toward Clinton, and perhaps Goldsboro as well. But here comes the rain with the next system. By 5 o'clock Saturday, afternoon, there could be a few showers in the local area. By 7 o'clock, showers, maybe a storm with a line that at this point does not look like it would be severe. By 9 o'clock, showers, perhaps even a thunderstorm. And this model ends at 2 a.m. on Sunday. Now at 10 o'clock on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL, the latest run of Futurecast will go out through 8 a.m. on Sunday. So we'll see if this lingers into Sunday morning. Now, if this is progressive, it may leave Sunday rain-free. So again, check back at 10 and 11. I'll have the latest look at the models to see if that's the case. So rain toward daybreak, 58 for us here in Raleigh, 61 Fayetteville, 53 at Roxboro, otherwise an overcast. We've got the Got to Be NC Festival tomorrow, 4 o'clock, about a 30% chance for rain. But if you want to head out there tomorrow evening, walk around in the Midway, eat funnel cakes, I'm sure they've got those out there. Temperatures look comfortable. It'll be mainly cloudy, just a sprinkle is possible, and that's about it. For the day tomorrow, our main focus for rain is in the morning, not really in the afternoon. So by afternoon, it probably will be, for the most part, gone and down east at the coast. Our highs tomorrow will be in the 70s, and it will still be breezy. 7-day forecast, pretty comfortable temperatures, considering we're getting closer and closer to June. 83 is the warmest on Saturday, with partly to mostly cloudy skies. Art splosure over the weekend. I think daytime activities will be dry. Evening activities, perhaps some wet weather. Sunday, we're watching for rain, and at this point, all of next week looks pretty much dry, and the key word is comfortable. It's not hot at all.
I mean, is it North Carolina?
I know, you gotta wonder.
I'm waiting for the humidity, and I'm loving that it's not here yet.
I don't think it'll be here next week either.
Yeah, well, right. Eventually it'll
Thanks,
come.
Mike.
Right?
I know.
Yeah, it's almost the weekend. That's an exciting time, right? Time to get together with family. We're gonna walk you through, look at that, some of the fun things to do in the Triangle this weekend. Next. Let's take a live look Man, this looks fun, right? The weather's beautiful. Big game tonight. The Canes are on fire. We're counting down to puck drop right now at PNC Arena. The Canes are taking on the Panthers for the first time in the Eastern Conference Finals. At home, a great way to start.
Yeah, two popular festivals, by the way, are kicking off in the Triangle this weekend.
WRL lifestyle editor Kathy Hanrahan highlights some of the family fun in this week's edition of Out and About.
The annual Got to Be NC Festival is happening this weekend at the North Carolina State Fairgrounds. The event is Friday through Sunday. There will be carnival rides, tractor parades, music, and food. Admission and parking are free. And in downtown Raleigh, the annual Art Splosure Festival is happening Saturday and Sunday. The event will feature an art market with more than 175 vendors from around the country. There will also be live performances and a special section with arts and crafts just for kids. Admission is free. And on Sunday, help the greatest mascot in the world celebrate his birthday. Durham Bulls mascot Wooly Bull is celebrating his big day with appearances from his mascot friends from around the Triangle. The fun will happen throughout the Bulls game. First pitch is at 1:05 p.m. These are just a few ways to get out and about this weekend. Kathy Hanrahan, WRAL News.
Hey, forget about just celebrating Wooly Bull's birthday.
You could
actually be Wooly Bull. How about that?
Here's
at the Bulls
your chance.
Games.
Yeah, the Bulls are hiring for the role of Wooly Bull. He's the mascot, of course, you see, at the Diamond. Requirements, get this, include ability to drive. You got to know how to drive. You got to be able to operate a go-kart, ATV,
check,
and appearance
check,
van.
Check.
Okay, what about this? Can you withstand performing up to 2 hours continuously in extremely high heat?
My wife would say I'm always performing.
Can you do it in high heat?
Come on.
In this. Okay. To apply, you can visit capitalbroadcasting.com.
Oh, man. These guys in here. Jeez, oh, man. Hey, thanks for making WRL your choice for local news.
Keep it right here for our Canes special as you look live at the fans outside. They're going to go inside soon for the Eastern Conference Final. We have a pregame special in just a couple minutes. Stay with us.